pray. God of all compassion, draw us near and inspire us to embrace the life before us. Make us like the curious seeker who asks the big questions and pursues knowledge. From the source of our being, we yearn for new vision, new eyes to see the world, and new ears to hear the cries of sorrow and joy. Awaken us to the beauty within each moment and within each person. Open our hearts to the pain we guard within ourselves and to the pain known by the hungered body and in spirit. Gracious God, in this moment of life, may peace be to all in this place. This is our prayer. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together in this place be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Today's lesson from the Gospel of Luke is perhaps one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. Most of you have heard the story of the Good Samaritan multiple times, no matter what your religious background might be. In fact, the term the Good Samaritan is used commonly in our language to describe a compassionate person who unselfishly helps someone in need. The name has been used for a number of charitable organizations and hospitals, and we have Good Samaritan laws that provide legal protection to someone who aids an injured person or an ill person in an emergency. Some of you, like me, may have an image of the Good Samaritan that we got when we were children. I remember a beautiful painting of a man kneeling on the ground beside a wounded man who was bleeding, half naked on a rocky road, with a donkey standing patiently nearby, waiting to take them to the inn. And in Sunday school class, we heard that the moral of the story is that we're supposed to help others. And usually we understood that to be that we should show kindness to those who are like us, like the old widow who lived next door, or someone in our church, or maybe a new kid at school. And then we're supposed to get a good, warm, and fuzzy feeling about that kindness. Now, it is certainly good for us to show kindness and to help others. God expects us to care for our neighbor. But the stories of Jesus often have a deeper meaning or a twist that challenges us. And this story is no exception to that rule. The story starts out, of course, with a lawyer asking Jesus a question. It is perhaps important to know that the lawyer in this case is someone who's an expert in the Old Testament law, not necessarily a courtroom lawyer as we might think about it today. The lawyer asks Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And like a good liberal arts professor, Jesus answers the question with a question. He asks him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" Jesus, of course, would expect the lawyer to know the Old Testament law and to be able to summarize it. In fact, all of the law of God relates either to the relationship between a man or woman and God, or between a man and a man, or a woman and a man, or a man and a woman. Ooh, or a woman and a woman. In the Ten Commandments, which do summarize the law, the first half have to do with our relationship with God, the second half with our relationship with each other. And if you further summarize the law, you can do so with two simple commandments. First, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer was good. He knew the answer to the question. And Jesus told him he had given the right answer and followed that with a commandment, do this and you will live. Live, that is, as in entering eternal life. So all you have to do is love God perfectly and love your neighbor as yourself, and you will have eternal life. You will enter the kingdom of God. Never fall short. Never slip up. Be absolutely perfect in every way, every day. At this point, the lawyer might have admitted that he, like all humans, is not perfect and could have asked Jesus for mercy. Instead, he sought justification for himself and chose to ask a clarifying question. And who is my neighbor? The lawyer likely expected Jesus to say that his neighbors were those in close proximity to him. His fellow Jews, those who were similar in their beliefs, those who followed their faith tradition. Jesus, having heard this question, "Who is my neighbor?" proceeded to tell a story, the story of the Good Samaritan, before he answered that question with a question. So in a nutshell, the story goes like this. You all know it. The man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho along a dangerous road, and robbers fell upon him, beat him, stripped him, and left him half dead by the side of the road. Two religious leaders, one a priest and the other a Levite, passed by this badly injured man without stopping. In fact, we're told they passed by on the other side of the road. They kept their distance, perhaps thinking it was inconvenient in their day to stop and help, or maybe self-justifying their behavior because it could be a risk to themselves. Jesus doesn't give us an answer why they didn't stop, Apparently, they didn't view the injured man as a neighbor. But then comes the first twist to the story. A third person comes by. In fact, it's a Samaritan who is probably the least likely person to give aid to this injured man. Samaritans were basically despised by the Jews. They were considered a lower class of people because they had intermarried with non-Jews and did not keep all of the Jewish law. But upon seeing the injured man, the Samaritan had compassion for him and helped. And he not only helped him a little, he helped him to the maximum extent possible, dressed his wounds, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, stayed with him overnight, and paid the innkeeper to allow the man to stay while he continued to heal. Having finished the story, Jesus then asked his question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And of course, the answer is obvious now. And the lawyer answered, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. But here is yet an additional twist to the story. Jesus changed the question. He gave it new meaning. The lawyer's original question was, who is my neighbor? He wanted to know who counts in this commandment to love your neighbor. He wants clarity on exactly who falls into that definition. He wants to know who exactly he needs to love. Jesus instead asks the lawyer who acted as a neighbor. The emphasis here is not on identifying who I must love, but on how I must be to be a neighbor to others. When others are in need, we are to love them generously and freely, regardless of race or religion or any other difference. Our neighbor is anyone we encounter in our everyday lives who needs our help, anyone who is hurting, anyone in need. Jesus, in this parable of the Good Samaritan, reminds us that all people are our neighbors, and we must love them just as the Samaritan showed love to the wounded man. So here, on this opening day of a new academic year, I invite all of you to think about what kind of community we want to be. Are we acting as good neighbors to everyone around us? Yes, we have a shared mission and shared values and shared traditions, and these are important foundational principles that bind us together. We live in community, a place where we can practice loving our neighbors. Our story today teaches us that our neighbor is every person who needs our help, every soul who is wounded or bruised by adversity, setbacks, or hardships. In reality, of course, that's all of us. That's each of us. I believe that Jesus' message is the foundation for all human relationships, that we see the needs of others and respond with kindness and compassion, even if it's inconvenient or somewhat uncomfortable. This is even more important when we think about relationships across boundaries, across religious boundaries, across racial or cultural boundaries, across boundaries of economic circumstances, sexual preferences, or countless other boundaries that we might encounter. In this community of Gustavus, may we always demonstrate our love for neighbors. May this be a place where kindness, compassion, and respect are practiced every day by everyone, in every action, and in every conversation. Jesus teaches us to be like the Good Samaritan in the story. We need to care for others, whether they are our closest friends or complete strangers, whether they live down the hall, across campus, or off campus, whether they are like us or are completely unlike us, and whether they've been here for 3 days or 3 years. So I ask you, are you in? Can God count on you? Can this community count on you? I'd like to close today with a prayer by David from Psalm 25. Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we join together in a time of prayer. Here in this space, we are gathered, called by our sense of urgency, our thirst for wisdom, and our longing for community. Here at this time, we are gathered, called to be held accountable to our values and be reminded of our hopes, dreams, and possibilities for the future. Here in this space, we are gathered. Some of us come in joy and thanksgiving, while others are carrying pain and grief. May we pause. May we breathe. And may we hold gently all the concerns, both named and unnamed, that are gathered in this space today. Here in this space, at this time, we are woven into a web of human community. May our shared silence be a blessing on our hearts, on this community, and on the wider world. Amen. May our teaching and learning be deepened through relationships of love and care. May our research and study be inspired by the joy of discovery and novelty. May our leading and serving be filled with compassion and grace. May our hearts be full of gratitude as together we live for one another and for the world. Amen.